moved here from San Francisco. Ariel Figueroa just moved here, so if we can introduce Ariel. So she's a student. We're very, very excited to have you, Ariel. It was great to meet your family last week. The whole family brought her out to Westchester County. I'm not sure if they were worried, wanted to check us out, make sure we were going to be okay. But I know that they feel great, and we are really, really excited to have you for as many years as you can possibly be here. We would love to keep you. I want to show a little video clip to show how confused some people tend to get in life. Yeah, when Ray showed that to me, I was laughing so hard I was crying. We live in a confused world, though. We do. I mean, people are very gullible. They can be very, very confused. But turn over to John chapter 14. I want to talk about confusion. One issue in particular people are particularly confused about. Last week we talked about four lepers in Israel who were at the city wall realizing they're going to die because the Aramean army was pressing Samaria. They had them completely locked in. The people in Samaria were starving to death. And these lepers thought, you know, if we stay like this, we're going to die. So let's take a risk. Let's go over to the Aramean camp. Let's go over to the army, and maybe they'll feed us and we'll live. I mean, they could also kill us, but hey, we're going to die now anyway, so let's take a risk. Let's go over. And what did they find? The camp was empty. God had caused the entire army to flee. They went in, they ate, they drank, gold, silver, and then what happened afterward? They realized they have to share it. That this isn't good for us just to have all this stuff to ourselves when there's a whole city over there dying, people are starving to death, and they have no idea that they could have all this great food out here. So the lepers went back to the city, and they became heroes because they simply shared the news that there was something far better if they left that city, the security of those walls, and risked themselves coming out and going into the Aramean camp. And so they were considered heroes. Today I want to talk about the great trilemma. Who is Jesus? And why people are so spiritually confused and literally starving. And in order to do this, we've got to expose probably Satan's largest lie he has ever created. What is that huge lie that he's created? That Jesus was a good moral teacher. Now, some people are looking at me like I'm insane. We're going to explain. Jesus has created a lie. I'm sorry. I'm really off. Reset button. Ignore that. Jury strike that from the record. Satan has created an enormous lie of who Jesus was. That he was simply a great moral teacher. Look at John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." What is Jesus saying he is? He's not saying he is a way to the Father. He is saying he is the way to the Father. He is not saying he is a form of life. He is literally saying he is the life. And he's not saying he's one of many roads that eventually gets to the Father. He is literally saying he is the road, the only road, super exclusive. Jesus can't be accused of being somewhat exclusive. He is absolutely exclusive. Jesus never claimed to be a great moral teacher. In fact, when somebody said good teacher, he corrected them. No one is good but God alone. He is not a great moral teacher. He is absolutely God. He is the only way to God. He is the only path to get to the Father. C.S. Lewis noted, "A man who is merely a man and said the sort of things Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on the level with a man who says he's a scrambled egg, or he would be the devil of hell. Jesus never claimed to be a great moral teacher. He claimed to be God Himself. Look at His statements. John chapter 8, verse 58. John chapter 8, verse 58. This statement. I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. When Moses asked God, when the people say, who sent me? What am I supposed to answer? What did God tell Moses? He simply said, I am. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus claims to be God. And it wasn't fuzzy. Look at John chapter 10 and verse 30. This is the second quote. John chapter 10 and verse 30. I and the Father are one. Again, it was so not fuzzy that three verses later, the Jews want to stone Jesus and they say, you, a mere man, claim to be God. It was not fuzzy to the Jews that listened to Jesus. Jesus was never fuzzy on truth. Jesus didn't make suggestions. Jesus just laid it out. I tell you the truth. Right. Truly, truly, I tell you. He said it over and over. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. I tell you the truth. That's who Jesus was. So are these statements true? I and the Father are one. Before Abraham was born, I am. Absolutely. Jesus doesn't lie. These claims are true. How do we know that they're true? The resurrection. Jesus was killed, buried, and resurrected on the third day. No other religious leader was ever resurrected from the dead. No religious leader dared claim to be resurrected from the dead, let alone do it. So we know that Jesus is God. But Satan is the author of confusion. Satan wants all of us to believe He was simply another great moral teacher, along with all the other great moral teachers. Why is this Satan's goal? Why is Satan so determined to convince the world that Jesus is nothing more than a good moral teacher? Because it takes all the power out of Christianity, true Christianity. It makes Christianity simply another good idea that's out there. Another good philosophical religion that you could follow if you chose. That's why Satan wants to do it. It just robs Christianity of all its effectiveness. Lives are not turned around. Nobody is born again. Nobody praises God for all the changes in their life, because Jesus was simply a good moral teacher. It was just the powerless religion of suggestions. But we know there is far more to Jesus than a self-improvement plan. We know that Jesus changes lives. We are evidence of that. I think of my life. Wow, I have changed. Jesus has radically changed my life. When I think back before I was a Christian and see all the impurity and all the selfishness and all the anger and rage and just egotistical behavior, I'm like, whoa. Thank God Jesus has changed me. I am not perfect. I have a long way to go. If you want evidence, ask Teresa. She will tell you. But I'm further along than I was before, and Jesus has radically changed my life. Wow. And I want that. I want Jesus to change my life. I want power. I don't want to be in church, some powerless religion of good suggestions. I want change, power in my life. And I'm sure you do too. I'm sure there are things you can think of right now. I wish I weren't this. I wish I weren't that. I wish this could change. I wish that can change. You know what? In Jesus, all things are possible. All things are possible for him who believes. Jesus changes lives. It is power. It's the power of God. But couldn't Jesus just have been a good moral teacher? Why is that so impossible? Well, let me ask you something. Do good moral teachers lie? Why couldn't Jesus just be some good moral teacher? Because good moral teachers don't lie. Jesus claimed to be God. So if he claimed to be God but wasn't God, isn't that called a lie? And if Jesus claimed to be God but wasn't God, let me tell you something about Jesus. He was the greatest con artist that ever walked the face of the earth. Wasn't he? Because he's convinced millions to believe he was God. Billions, possibly. He's convinced thousands to die for him. No, liars are not good moral teachers. And besides, that view doesn't even reconcile with what we know of Jesus, or the results of his life, or his teachings, how he's turned the world upside down. Wherever Jesus is proclaimed, lives have been changed. People that have been stealing their whole life, they stop stealing. They become honest people. People that hate others, who are just filled with hatred and anger and rage, instead, they change. They start loving people and serving people. The sick are healed in Jesus' name. Addicts become free of their addictions. The enslaved become free. Think of how your own life has changed. I think of how my life has changed. Is this the work of a liar, a charlatan, a deceiver? No. Name the liar that has produced all these positive change lives out there. Name the liar that's changed the world in a positive way. It's not there. If Jesus were a liar, he could never be considered a good moral teacher. In fact, he would be considered the biggest hypocrite that ever walked the face of the earth because he taught everybody to be honest no matter what the cost. Isn't that right? In fact, he would be the devil himself because he's leading people to hell by believing a lie. So no, Jesus' life is in stark contrast to that of a deceiver. Jesus is not a liar. Well, okay, so he wasn't lying. Maybe he was confused about who he was. Okay, so you're saying that Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, but he was confused. He didn't really know he was God. He was really confused about this, so he told everybody he was God, but he wasn't really God. What do we call that person? Yeah, that's a lunatic. Is a great moral teacher a lunatic? Do we know any lunatics that we consider great moral teachers? Anybody? People are looking a bit confused. Maybe there are some out there. I can't think of any. Now look, if your neighbor comes up to you tomorrow or tonight, let's say this afternoon you get home and your neighbor comes over and your neighbor has news. Your neighbor's really, really excited about this news and your neighbor says, "Guess what? I am God." And you can tell they're really convinced they're God. What would you call that neighbor? I think you'd call him a lunatic, wouldn't you? I mean, was Jesus somewhat misled, somehow misled to believe he was God when in fact he wasn't God? That is really hard to fathom. He spoke the most profound teachings ever recorded. That's a lunatic? His teachings are powerful. They liberate the enslaved. They empower the weak. That's not a lunatic. Jesus' character shows no signs of instability. His lifestyle, no signs of irrational fears or insatiable obsessions, anxiety, mood swings, paranoia. These are all the things we see in lunatics. We don't see any of that in Jesus. Jesus spoke some of the most profound words ever recorded. And that truth sets us free. Where are the teachings of the other lunatics? Where are they? Jim Jones, David Koresh, Marshall Applewhite, Charles Manson. Where are their teachings? Where are their books? Most of them are dead. Charles Manson's still alive, but just barely. He'll never be let go for murdering so many people. These are all lunatics. Jesus was no lunatic. But he was not simply a good moral teacher. Good moral teachers, like Confucius, Buddha, Gandhi, Thomas Aquinas, Abraham Lincoln, where are they today? They're dead. Good moral teachers are dead. Where is Jesus today? The tomb is empty. He is alive. He is alive and working in all our lives and all around the world. Jesus is God. Jesus is Lord. So here's the spiritual trilemma in today's culture. We only have three choices about Jesus. Who is Jesus? Who was Jesus? There's only three choices. He's either a liar, or he's a lunatic, or he's Lord. That's all we have. There aren't other choices. Good moral teacher, that is not a choice. Because he said he was God. And if he wasn't God, he was either a liar or a lunatic. No good moral teacher says they are God. So that is a lie of Satan. It's the biggest lie of Satan out there. Because if you take a survey, what will most people say Jesus was? He was a good moral teacher. So here's the dilemma the world has. Now we're going to call it a trilemma. The definition of a dilemma is a situation in which a difficult choice has to be made between two or more alternatives, especially equally undesirable ones. That's what a dilemma is. It's an argument forcing an opponent to choose either of two unfavorable alternatives. But we don't have two, we actually have three, so let's just call it rather than a dilemma, which means two, let's call it a trilemma. Now, maybe you're upset with me with that word, but hey, I don't really care. Look, here's the dilemma. Here's the trilemma. If you say to people, if you ask people, who was Jesus? Most people are going to say, well, he was a good moral teacher. And so what can we say? And this is a suggestion I have. I think we need to do this. We need to go out. Let's take this week and do this. Take this week and just say to people, hey, I'm doing a little survey, you know, a little personal survey. You know, who was Jesus? Now, it doesn't say anything about what you believe, right? You could be an atheist and say that. But it's a good question because it gets people talking and, hey, it's a good intro question. You know, I'm just doing a little survey, who was Jesus? Now, again, most people will probably say, well, he was a good teacher. He was a good moral teacher. So what's the next question you can ask? Do you know what Jesus claimed he was? You can even say if you want, hey, do you have a second? I read this. Let me show you what he said here. And he said he was God. So was he lying? Now, most people are not going to be so bold as to say Jesus was a liar. So they'll say, no, I don't think Jesus was lying. So he was God. Well, you know, maybe he was confused. So he was a lunatic then. Well, most people aren't going to be bold enough to probably say he was a lunatic either. So it's a good way to share your faith. Because they still don't know what you think. Because you're just asking their opinion. You're just asking, so he was a liar. So he was a lunatic. So who was he? He was a great moral teacher. Well, do great moral teachers lie? Are great moral teachers lunatics? I mean, it doesn't completely connect, does it? The sad part is, with people that believe that Jesus is simply a good moral teacher, is that they're missing out on all the power of Christianity. Look at John chapter 8, verse 32. It's impossible to participate in the heavenly nature, all the blessings of Jesus, by believing a lie. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 32, the truth will set you free. So if we believe Jesus is simply a good moral teacher and that's a lie, can we be set free by that? No, we have to believe Jesus was who he claimed to be in order to be set free. John chapter 7, verse 38, whoever believes in me, and he's not talking about just an intellectual belief, Because the book of James says even the demons believe. And what happens to the demons? Are they saved? No, their belief doesn't save them. Why? Because their belief has nothing to do with obedience. But Jesus is talking about that deep belief where you really believe who Jesus is. You accept that truth and you practice it. You actually obey Jesus as Lord. He says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. What a beautiful promise to those that really believe who Jesus claimed to be. I mean, there's different levels of life. You know, this stand here is not organic, but there's life in it. What kind of life is going on in this thing? It's all this energy and all this mass and bosons and bosons and strings and quarks and all this. It's full of energy. If you released all the energy in this thing, it would blow up the entire campus here. More than blow up the campus. Because a dime, if you took a dime and released all the energy in a dime, it's the same power as what fell over Hiroshima. So this is far heavier than a dime. This would blow us all up. So there's life in this, but it's inorganic. Then there's life in our bodies. There's life in plants. There's different levels of life. And then there's this kind of life. Let me tell you what, that's what we want. That's the life we want. We don't want to just live physical lives and then die. We want that. We want rivers of living water to flow from us. And where's that from? That's from the Holy Spirit. But the only way you can get the Holy Spirit is to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, to enjoy the power of the Holy Spirit through that relationship. So here's the sad part. People don't realize what they're missing. They have no idea what they're missing. So many people that claim to be Christians go to church and they rotely just sing songs and they read some stuff and they say some stuff and then go home, and their life at home is no different than the atheist that lives next door to them. They're still yelling at their wives like the atheist. They're yelling at their kids like the atheist. They have no power over the purity or insecurity of their life. It's just like the guy next door. But they don't know. They don't realize there's so much more to Christianity. The true Christianity is where living water flows out of you, where it changes your life. It radically transforms your life to become like Jesus' life. That is what we want. Nobody came in here in all this heat, or let me say this, nobody's staying here in all this heat to just hear a few good words of poetry. I mean, I know most of the members of the church, and I can tell you, I know that you're not a member of the church because everybody's so good looking. Or we're just a fun group. You know why you're here? Because you want a relationship with the Creator of the universe. And not only that, you want the power that comes from that relationship. So, I want to close this out with a friendly challenge. I have a friendly challenge. What's the friendly challenge? To be just like those four lepers last week that were sitting around the city wall saying, we're going to die. We got to do something here. And they went and they found the riches of the camp. And they were being fed and they were drinking and finding gold and silver, and they were saved. They were like, this is awesome. And then they realized, wait a minute, nobody knows about this. They're all back in the city starving to death while we're enjoying all this stuff. 1 Kings. I had put 2 Kings, but I was wrong. It's 1 Kings chapter 7. Who are we in that parable? Or it wasn't a parable, it was an actual event. Who are we? We're the lepers. And where's the city? What's the city? Oh, I'm sorry, what's the camp? The camp is Jesus. What's the city? The city is the world. People have no idea that Jesus can't be a great moral teacher. They have no idea that that's a lie. They have no idea that Jesus is far more than that. And the fact is, they have no idea what they could have if they did understand that. That's the power of the Bible, where you get people into the Bible and they actually see what Jesus literally said. And you see right before your eyes, lives change, hearts melt, attitudes switch, and suddenly people are like, wow, I had no idea this was in the Bible. Every single person I study with says that to me at one point. Every person I sit down and study the Bible with, wow, I had no idea that was in the Bible. I've been going to church my whole life. I had no idea. So, we're the lepers, the city is, all the confused people, and what's our job? To share. But what if it's intimidating? Yep, that's why we sing that song, right? Are you singing it after this? Be strong, take heart. But what happens if people are going to diss you and think ill of you and not think you're a cool person anymore because you shared about Jesus? Remember the Lord. Remember the Word. But what happens if you could get fired? You got to trust in God. See, this is, Jesus doesn't mince words, but He also hasn't sent us out without a promise. Let's look at Matthew chapter 28. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." So is this a good suggestion or a command? Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's the promise. And surely I am. Remember who Jesus said He was? I am with you always to the very end of the age. That when we become a disciple, we don't just have good moral teachings inside us. We literally have Jesus in us. And His promise is He will always be in us. And so as we go out into the world, back into that starving city, as we leave the camp of all the wealth we have and go back in to share our faith, even though we're trembling, even though we're afraid, even though something could happen, Jesus will be with us. So what's my friendly challenge this week? Go out and ask people. Tell them you're taking a little survey. Who is Jesus? See what they say. Who are we looking for? We're not looking for believers. We're looking for the confused. If they're a believer, that's great. Hey, let's study the Bible anyway. Let's get in there and encourage one another. But who we're really looking for are the confused. And say, wow, really? And then all those things. Can we do this thing? Thank you for suffering through the heat. Thank you for suffering through the humidity. Let's pray. Let's all stand up so we can pray. And let's pray. God and Father, we are so grateful for You. Father, You are everything. You have given us everything in life. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You are omnipresent. You are omniscient. You are everywhere. You are over all, through all, in all. There is nothing that was created that wasn't created through You. We praise You for Your amazing power and Your love for us, Your vision for us that goes so far beyond where we are. Who are we that we deserve to have a personal relationship with the Creator of the universe through Jesus? Father, please forgive us for our timidity. Please forgive us for our people-pleasing. Please forgive us when we're surrounded by confused people and we're just too scared to say anything. Father, help us to share the good news with those around us. Help us to let Jesus live through us, to be fully expressed through us, so that we can be true disciples of Yours and see many, many men and women come to a knowledge of the truth and surrender their lives to You. We love You. We're so grateful for Jesus, who is our best friend, our mentor, our teacher, our coach, and our Lord. In His name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westchester Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit westchester.nyccoc.net.